Anyways, our guy Ben Maller is ready to rock and roll. It is brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Bob Fesco, you and him have had a great relationship, and let's rock into Ben Maller.
Ben Maller, you know, Isaiah Pacheco goes down. Is the season over for Kansas City? Should we all be panicking?
Well, guys, it's good to be on with you again. It's like a throwback to like 1987, 88. The running back, you lose your running back and you're doomed unless you are not. Yeah, so I did a rant on my overnight show the other night. I was like, the Maller scale of concern for the Chiefs running game, 1 to 10, and I was at a 3, and I think I'm high going 3. I think I'm high. I'm like panic mode at 3. Pacheco has both been really good the last couple of years in key spots for them and is easily replaceable. So it's like both those things are simultaneously true for the Chiefs. In fact, I think we'll be talking about that on the TV show this weekend, because I'm sure that'll come up, because everything, as you said, revolves around the Chiefs and what's going on with them. And it's funny, we had a conversation, guys, and we were talking before the year. I remember Dusty brought it up. If the Chiefs beat the Ravens and the Bengals the first two games, is it all over, right? And they won both those games, but it doesn't feel like it's over. To me, it doesn't feel like it's over. Even though they won those games, they didn't dominate either one of the games. They won, and they won by a toe against the Ravens. You'd much rather obviously be 2-0 than 0-2 or whatever, 1-1, but it doesn't – I don't get the sense like that the Chiefs, even with those wins, it wasn't a statement. It wasn't like, hey, we blew those teams off the field. It wasn't that kind of a start to the year.
So who are you looking at right now then that you're like, okay, maybe they're still around? I know we're two games into the season and everybody's saying who's frauds and who's a surprise team, because, yes, you know, we're two games into this thing.
Yeah.
But other than Kansas City on top, who else are you looking at? Is it Buffalo? Is it San Francisco maybe? Like, where do you sit with that?
Yeah, well, overall, if you look at the entire NFL, you would say the 49ers, when they've got a bunch of guys out right now, although they are a touchdown favorite against the Rams this weekend, a game that I'll be at. But being realistic here, the Texans, who were in the playoffs last year, but they haven't even looked all that good to begin the year either. I mean, it's like this feeling out process, like a boxing match, and it's even worse now, and we complain about this every year, and we fall back into the trap because teams do so little in terms of actual preparation for the regular season. They do like joint practices, and then they don't. So it's like the first couple of weeks, it's like preseason still, and everyone's trying to fill each other out and all that, and figure out what they got and who's disguising things and whatnot. The Lions haven't looked good, but I would say the 49ers are the obvious one in the NFC. And if you just go by the 2 weeks of the regular season, the New Orleans Saints are the number one team in the NFL. The Saints go marching in to the Super Bowl. And where is the Super Bowl being played in 2025? Uh-oh, we got something. Watch out for the Saints.
Yeah, I think it's interesting about how the NFL is – because obviously in baseball right now, we're in panic mode here with our Kansas City Royals. But with the NFL, like, panic mode can hit within the first, I think, 2-3 weeks. And I think you're right the way that you started your segment about how you don't feel like it's over in the AFC. But, I mean, you look at Baltimore this week. They got a big one against Dallas, who's also just got the bricks blown off their house by your New Orleans Saints. If, in fact, Baltimore is 0-3, Ben, I have to think that it is over in Baltimore. And then that leaves the AFC to just be what? Houston, Kansas City, and Buffalo, and we're back to 2018?
Yeah, well, we've already eliminated the Dolphins. They were eliminated before, but now they're definitely eliminated. The Skyler is the limit for the Miami Dolphins. So that's out. I don't see that being Nick Foles 2.0. So you take that off the board. And then, yeah, I mean, you're looking around here, and you're like, the Ravens – something's going on with Lamar Jackson, and I'm not sure what it is. He's tied. I saw this fun fact that blew me away. Lamar Jackson is tied for the most bad throws in the NFL, most inaccurate throws. He's tied with Bryce Young, who just got benched in Carolina. Like, he's been all over the place, and yet the Ravens have still had chances to win both the games that they played. They blew the lead against the Raiders last week, and their defense, though, has been gouged. I don't look at the Ravens right now as a legit contender. Obviously, they're 0-2, and I do think they're going to lose to the Cowboys on Sunday, so they'll be 0-3, and then it's total panic at the Disco for Harbaugh and for Lamar Jackson. But Lamar lost some weight thinking he was going to be lean and mean and all that, and he's been lean, but he has not been mean so far for the Ravens. And there's still – obviously, there's a lot of road to go down and whatnot. There'll be some other teams that emerge. The Chargers are a wild card team because they do have Harbaugh. They're running the ball. He said he was going to run the ball a lot. They're running the ball almost, I think it was, I saw the stat, roughly 60% of the Chargers' yardage has come from the running game. So he's actually walking the walk. He didn't just say that. They're trying to become a physical team. And those type of teams do well in the playoffs. So that's a team to keep an eye on. But I don't take Pittsburgh seriously because they don't have a quarterback. And some of these other teams that are off the 2-0 starts, I look at them as total frauds.
Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio here on 96.5 The Fan, and you mentioned Bryce Young, and that's a situation where I don't think he's a very good quarterback, but I also don't think he's been set up for success by the organizations. I think sometimes we do throw away these quarterbacks, and we look at it, we go, well, the organization had 4 head coaches, 6 offensive coordinators in his first 2 years. How is anybody supposed to have success? Is this on the Carolina Panthers, or is this on the player?
Yeah, so this is a pet peeve of mine, Bob, that everyone's giving a mulligan to Bryce Young. Like, he's got no culpability in this, and this drives me nuts. I agree with you. It is dysfunction junction down Tobacco Road. I get that. I totally get that. And David Tepper, he apparently very good with a hedge fund, but not good with a football team. Fine. I understand. But Bryce Young has shown you nothing. Like, you got to even all of those coaches, they got a bunch of all of them were hired to make him look good. And nobody has been able to make Bryce Young look like he knows what he's doing playing quarterback. It looks like he won a contest to play quarterback in the NFL. He looks too small, like he's overmatched. I mean, it's like he won a raffle and he's out there playing quarterback. So, like, I would agree that it's all the team if he had shown some flashes, but he hasn't even done that. And I fell down a rabbit hole on YouTube. I was watching some clips of him the first couple of games of the year, and there were guys open, and he was checking down. It was so ridiculous. The Chargers, great job by Jim Harbaugh, they knew he was just going to check down. So they were defending the check down, and there were guys open. He wouldn't even throw the ball to him. He was looking to the check down as his first option. It was a debacle, an absolute debacle.
Who do you think's the MVP front runner right now? Because I am interested. I think when you look at the league, I think the quarterbacks that pop up on the leading passer, it's like, am I in like in a simulation where it's Kyler Murray and Darnold and Derek Carr? But I feel like right now in the AFC, it's got to be what, Josh Allen? Am I wrong on that, or do we just keep praising Derek Carr?
Well, no, I think the rule is, I don't know if you got the talking points memo, Dusty. It's that we have to kiss the Saints' tuchus is what we have to do because they those are the names. I am not a big fan of Kyler Alligator Arms Murray, as I call him, but he did play very well. He absolutely torched the Rams, had a perfect day against the Rams last week. But Derek Carr and the Saints, the way they've absolutely blown the doors off everybody, he's at the top. And I would say Buffalo with Josh Allen, the one-man band there, pretty impressive. The problem with the Bills every year is once the weather turns nasty, Josh Allen's numbers go in the toilet. So he's got to get off to a great start every year because once the weather turns sideways, his performance goes down. That's been the problem for the Bills for years when they've had good quarterbacks. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's very hard to win an MVP there because your numbers go down because of the weather.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, and you know, you mentioned the Rams, and they're off to an awful start from an injury situation. There's been rumors of potentially trading Matthew Stafford. Should the Dolphins be in on that? Should they look to make a big time trade for a quarterback right now, or just kind of play this whole thing out with Skyler?
No, I would go with it. You're at the tail end of Tyreek Hill's prime, right? I know he just signed an extension, but he's around that age where wide receivers occasionally fall off the map. You've got Jaylen Waddle there. You've got the genius X's and O's, you know, boy wonder offensive play caller. Like, I go for it. And if the Rams would trade Matthew Stafford, I don't know how the salary cap stuff would work, but I'm a salary cap truther anyway, so they'd be able to figure that out. So my move, if I'm the Dolphins, I absolutely want to get Matthew Stafford. Why would you not make that move? He is, they call him the Kingmaker with what he's done with wide receivers. Calvin Johnson in Detroit, Cooper Kupp with the Rams, Puka Nacua last year. Can you imagine what this guy would do playing with Waddle and Tyreek Hill? And those guys are already great as it is. Yes, absolutely make that trade. And the Rams, at this point, it's Murphy's Law. Like, everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. The whole setup, they've lost two or three offensive linemen, their top two pass catchers, their defense is already gassed, they're out of shape, it's week three. I don't know how it could get much worse for the Rams at this point. And they play the Niners, who blow them away every year. So it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Carolina situation, speaking of alligator arms, I don't believe anything that's coming out of Carolina. I think they are doing their best to, I don't know if you've seen the movie Matilda, but I think they're trying to sell a car to somebody and not telling him the actual like ingredients that's in this busted vehicle when it comes to Bryce Young. I think he's unhappy because he was lied to. I think that system is flawed because you see what Darnold and Baker Mayfield are doing. I don't know where Bryce Young's going to be, but it ain't going to be in Carolina come trade deadline.
I disagree, and here's why. That would be the biggest downfall trade of all time, Dusty. They still have to give a second round pick to the Bears next year. They won't even get, he's not even worth a second round pick at this point. So maybe you get a third round and a conditional pick or something like that. Bryce Young, I know it's only been 18 games, but he has been the definition, the epitome of a suckbag quarterback. So, I think they hold on to him until the offseason and then try to trade him, and they'll make up, they'll plant some stories in the media about how he looks great in practice and he's really come around to the coaching and all that. But you are right with what, when you say you should never trust these coaches. I mean, all the coaches are the same. They're so paranoid. They never give you the real story. Dave Canales, I love that clip of him on Sunday after the game. Oh, yeah, these reps are huge. We need Bryce Young out there. He's going to get better. And then less than 24 hours, they end up getting rid of him. But at this point, the value of Bryce Young, it's like going on Craigslist or OfferUp and saying, all right, it's free outside my house. Come pick it up. You can have your quarterback. There's no real value there. The guy is beaten and broken at this point. So I think they wait till the offseason and then they try to move.
Ben, we enjoy the time every week. We appreciate it. Enjoy watching Aaron Rodgers stand tonight, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's Ben Maller, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Dusty, I want to know, and Mac, I want to know from you in the text line as well, who's on your list of suckbag quarterbacks?
Top two that come to... Top two that come to mind are Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson.
I like that. Yeah.
Watson. So, yes.
Who is on your suckbag list or suckbag quarterback list at 913-586-7965? Who makes that list for you? Who's on your list there, Mac?
Gosh, Daniel Jones has got to be
on there, right?
Yeah, gotta be.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, Bryce Young has got to be on that list. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's kind of where it started. I think Caleb Williams is trending towards that list as well, especially I think he gets on that list not listening to CJ Stroud after the game. I don't know who else is on that list. You can fill it in. Joe Burrow maybe makes that list.
Bo Nix, if we're gonna mention Caleb.
Bo Nix, yeah.
No,
yeah.
He's not because of his comments in post game.
Well, the post game does.
He totally redeemed himself.
No, it's true, man. When you're Bo Nix and the media ask you a dumb question and you give a dumb answer, I'm kind of for this guy right now.
Bo, can you take us through the interception in the end zone?
So good.
Drop back, do it to the other team.
That's it, perfect. Right there. Yeah,
just absolutely perfect. People hate the media, and then your media gets hated on, and everybody goes back to the other side.
Yeah, right.
I thought this was kind of hilarious. Waking up to see Twitter and sometimes or X. Sometimes we hate the social media world, but sometimes you love it. It's really a love hate relationship. Tom Pelissero came out with this about 15 hours ago. NFL stat correction with possible fantasy impact in defensive player leagues. Chiefs edge Cor Loftus Karlaftis was awarded a full sack in last week's win over Cincinnati, so my script is kind of good, removing a half a sack from defensive tackle Chris Jones. Chris Jones quote tweeted and said, "This is some BS." Hilarious.
That is great. It was a great quote tweet by Chris Jones, which told me big game for Chris Jones. Multiple sacks this week against Atlanta.
So Kelce has 7 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, and Chris Jones has 2.5 sacks for a loss and a fumble. Kirk Cousins is a statue, so this would be one of those type of games.
It is that type of game, right? Yeah, Chris Jones going to eat.
And Jones tweeted right after and said, he's like, "George just offered to buy me dinner, so we're good." I was like, "Oh, that's great.
Hey, you want to buy George dinner."
Yeah, I know, right?
Come on, $90 million man.
Yeah, what are you doing making the young guy who's on a rookie salary buy you dinner, man? Come on now, Chris.
The other funny tweet, which is one of those, if you can't beat them, join them.
That's right.
Chicago White Sox's Twitter handle, or X handle.
I think they're 4 games away now from being the all-time losingest team in baseball history. You got to lean into that.
How many games? 9?
8 or 9 left. I don't know, depending on how many off days.
They're probably going to win 1. They lost last night in extra innings. To go to extra innings with the White Sox, you have to really double down on yourself.
Yeah.
Chicago White Sox X handle at White Sox says, "Final, the other team scored more runs than us."
For the 117th time this year.
Oh my God,
they are the butt of every joke in baseball. But, you know, they've got 3 games left at the end of the year, guys, against the Tigers. That's who the Tigers close out the season against are the White Sox. And so I'm going to tell you something, man. You got to be a big White Sox fan for those final 3 games of the season against Detroit, because if they help us out a little bit, that's a good thing. But by then, I'm sure they're already going to have that record set for the most losses in a season. So, you know what? Lean into it, White Sox. Lose every game from here on out. Be by far the worst team in Major League Baseball.
And if you're having a rough day, just go read all the comments.
But see, that's the thing in all serious. Like, if you're the White Sox right now, why are you even waiting near social media at this point in time?
Right. I mean, somebody on the response says, "It only took you guys until September 18th to have a little humor, huh?"
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, "But did you have fun?" Another one says, "Must be a day that ends in Y." and then someone just put "the admin said" and put a picture of Antonio Brown shirtless running off the field against the Jets. So good, man. I mean,
could you imagine being a player on that team for the entire year and losing 117-plus ball games? My God.
Somebody needs to do some homework in Chicago and go find out how many fans went to more than like 20 games. And then ask them why. Because there used to be like a White Sox fan back in the day, I think they would sit either behind home plate or behind the dugout, and he wore like the M&M racing check.
Is that here? Was that here? No, I'm sorry, not here. Was that Chicago or Detroit?
I thought it was Chicago.
It's one or the other. I can't remember. Both of them have similar looking stadiums. I think it is Chicago. And the guy that dressed like a tiger in the tiger tuxedo, maybe, he went to Detroit.
Is the Marlins guy still a thing?
He's going through a little rough right now. He's battling some stuff.
Hate that.
And then somebody from our text line, 913-586-7965, says, "Because the 19-year-old intern still has a job to do." Take the day off and have a good one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But seriously, though, if you're the White Sox, man, just stay away from social media. There's nothing to gain from that.
I don't even know why you stay away from the games.
Yeah, just don't show up anymore.
Like, stop.
And if you are going to a White Sox game, why?
It's got to be free.
It has to be. Like, how do you justify just the gas to get to a game?
I mean,
however you're getting there, right? Like, maybe you needed a few extra steps, but then you're buying a ticket and you're probably buying something inside. Like, I don't want to hear that you're a big fan and, "Oh, we're there through the thick and thin." No, you're not. Nobody needs to be there for a team that's losing 117 games. I think somebody said like 2 weeks ago they actually counted the people in the stands and there were like 67 people there.
Oh, that's so sad.
Like, you're losing money just turning the lights on at that place.